Rob, you joining
us?
Talk radio.
I know, right?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is. Let's get it.
Here we go. Let's go.
Rob, you not joining us on Zoom? Yeah, what's the number? It's the same number every single time. Doesn't change.
807-808-9239.
There it is, man. Again. Yeah, he was talking pretty fast there. Again, we are going to let Rob get into the session, if you will. But welcome to another fantastic Throwback Thursday edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Gentlemen, again, April's upon us. Wrapped up March Madness, as always. Brackets, all that fun stuff. What an amazing start by Baylor. Congratulations to them. And we got some things to really focus on. We're getting ready to have the start of Major League Baseball. And, you know, again, upset about your Phillies, but that's another conversation. The Phillies, just, you know, whatever. We'll come back around to that. For the Braves. And then we got to talk some mock draft. We got to talk some NFL draft talk, which it seems like if your lips are moving, you're lying. But, again, we got a lot of things to jump into, as always. So without further ado, I'm going to check in with the fellas, as always, Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, can't complain, man. I'm hanging out with my daughter while I'm trying to work over spring break and trying to get to that gym, trying to get back in shape with some of this COVID belly that I developed. So, you know, trying to get it back right, man.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I think we all had a little COVID belly too, man, but it's all good, man. So I'm just happy that, again, it feels like there's some sense of normalcy, if you will. Like my boy Rob got the first vaccine, so, man, I'm going to keep this party moving. I'm still a little sore, man, so we'll see how that plays out for sure, man. But it's good that hopefully we'll be getting out of this pretty soon, and I get a chance to see you guys again, so we'll hang out with that too. So, again, appreciate you, bro. Rob, what's up, man?
What's going on? Yeah, glad to hear you got the first dosage of the vaccine. Obviously, as you mentioned, that's going to be the quickest way for us to get back to some type of normalcy here. Hey, you know, one of the key vegetables for helping you to lose weight is that asparagus.
Oh, my God.
You know, gentlemen, if y'all want to try to get rid of some of that that COVID stuff, you know, asparagus is going to be key. It's going to be important for you to take that next step.
Again, that statement has not been proved by the FDA or any of the sort, too. So, again, we have no knowledge of what Rob was talking about with asparagus. It does not. There's been no scientific proof that it does do that. But it is a very good vegetable to eat in general, too. So, all good.
It's a nasty diarrhea.
Is that Curtis that joined in? Who's calling? Is that Curtis? That's
yeah,
on?
Curtis.
Is that you, Curtis? Welcome,
yeah, I
bro.
Showed
okay.
up.
I know. Okay, good deal. Good to have you on this board. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to get beyond some things that were negative. I got a couple of days of some negative news, and some things that scared me. But, you know, we got to get beyond that. And today, and Talking Sports is going to help me do that.
Gotcha. As always, we appreciate your fight, man, too. So, again, I know that can get old of a fan, but we really legitimately appreciate you, man. So anytime you join in and have your conversation, it's definitely good to hear. So you're going to have to hold down the fort for Gary since he's not on. So anything that's all the jokes that Rob throws about you about the Cowgirls, you got to be able to fight back. You ready for that?
Yeah. Nobody does fight yet. Gary likes talking a lot of doo-doo.
Since Gary's not on, I'll at least call him Dallas tonight.
Yeah, I'm a little sorry. I'm not well enough to talk as much duty as he does.
It's all good. Hey, it's all good. We'll have some fun. Again, we'll
hang
take
in there, bro.
From that perspective too, Curtis. But as always, it's a good night. You got the crew here. So, again, throwing out the numbers as always, the 424-243-9519. That's the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then enjoy the Facebook page. We got some new pictures of us that we posted, which is facebook.com/talkingsports12man. And if you go to Talk It, if you put in 12th Man Sports, you'll find us as well. Just saw the mock drafts that Rob had posted. He posted both drafts, the NBA as well as the NFL iteration draft. I think this is mock draft for Rob number 20 point something, if you will, too. But, Rob, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to put those in. So we got a lot of things to discuss, and let's kick it off here, gentlemen. We're having some fun here. And I guess, will anybody beat the Nets right now in the playoffs? So, you know, besides, you know, COVID, well, who else will beat the Nets? I'll start with you, JQ. They're looking pretty stacked, adding Blake Griffin, if you will, to that lineup. They got Harden, we know about that. KD, Kyrie Irving, almost like a miniature all-star squad, if you will. But will anybody beat them, if you will, JQ?
And don't forget about LaMarcus Aldridge, also adding them to that mix as well.
That's right. Good call, yeah.
As long as they don't implode, they recognize this one ball and everybody decides to, you know, stay in their lane, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be really hard for somebody to beat them because, you know, as we talk about that and who are the title contenders, you know, we know that we've seen, you know, Harden disappear in the playoffs. Blake Griffin and Marcus Aldridge just not have a whole lot of playoff success. But KD has had a lot of playoff success. Kyrie has had a lot of playoff success. So you have those two guys, you know, and this is all with everybody's healthy. Everybody has all the bullets in their chamber going to the playoffs. I just don't see another team beating them 4 out of 7 times with all the firepower they have. Those boys are going to have to go ice cold and have some internal fighting. I just don't know who beats them. I look at the East, and, you know, I like the 76ers. They've been playing good ball, and Embiid has come back now. He was playing at an MVP level before he got hurt, and he came right back and dropped 30-something on Boston on his first game back. But the Nets firepower, man, it's going to be hard. I don't put any stock really in the Bucks. Sorry, the Hawks and the Hornets. I just don't think they have the firepower to beat the Nets 4 out of 7 games. Right. That's what it comes down to. Can you beat a healthy Nets team 4 out of 7 times? I just don't see anybody in the East doing it. In the West, listen, you got some teams with firepower now. You know, the Jazz can shoot that three. Phoenix with their own little version of the big three with Booker, Ayton, Chris Paul. They're both playing really good basketball. I mean, you know, Phoenix has won 7 in a row. The Jazz cooled off a little bit and lost 2 in a row, but I mean, they still have 1 seed in the West. Clippers are going to be dangerous. I really think they're going to beat learn from last year. The Nuggets. Now, if you want to talk about a sleeper team, I don't think they have they lost yet. They haven't lost yet since they've gotten Aaron Gordon.
No, they haven't.
And the Joker has been playing at MVP level, and they've been doing this without also with Jamal Murray being a little nicked up. So if you get, you know, if you get him going right, the way they can play as well, watch out for those Nuggets. And they have that experience now, you know, for last year, making it to the Western Conference Finals and playing the Lakers really tough. And when I come to the Lakers, it's going to come down to them being healthy. They got to get Drummond. They got to get AD. They got to get LeBron back going. They got to get them back going in enough time before the regular season is over so that they can get a little bit more cohesion, right? But all that being said, if the Nets are healthy with the firepower that team has, I would take the Nets versus the Field right now.
Oh. Yeah, Rob, and then are you what's doing over there, man? What's Rob doing? You making some tea or something? What's going on, bro?
Oh, I'm making some asparagus for my lunch tomorrow, by the way.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Go ahead,
but,
man.
But to follow up to JQ's point is, I mean, if the Nets are healthy, they're going to be tough to beat. But I guess the biggest question mark is, will they stay healthy? When you look at the number of games that a lot of their players have missed this season, I think that's more the biggest question. Will they stay healthy? You know, Kevin Durant just came back last night, actually looked pretty good, you know, and playing in short duty. But he shot the ball well. Looked like he ran the floor well. How long is he going to stay healthy? How long are those guys going to stay healthy is going to be the key. And whether or not the chemistry is going to be there too. If you are going to say who's a contender, I agree that the Nets ought to be the favorite, right? But if you're going to look at the contenders, obviously to me in the East there's only two teams that can possibly contend, and that's the Sixers and the Bucks, right? They're the only two teams that can possibly at least compete. In the West, I mean, you still got at least six teams in the West that on any given series or matchups or, you know, health-wise could make a run at this thing. You mentioned Utah. The one thing I still question about Utah, do they have enough stars to help them get through the playoffs, right? I mean, Donovan Mitchell is outstanding, and I don't understand why Donovan Mitchell is not in the MVP conversation. It's beyond me. But outside of, you know, they have the shooters. There's no doubt about it. They can shoot the basketball. They got a lot of players that can shoot. They got bigs that can defend. But do they have enough stars to propel them in the playoffs? That's going to be the biggest question for Utah. And Phoenix, another guy, Devin Booker. Why is he not in the United States? And both of those guys should be right up there with the Joker as far as the MVP conversation is concerned. And, yeah, I was one of the few that stayed up and watched that game last night, the Jazz and the Suns. And, you know, Devin Booker, Chris Paul. Can Chris Paul get it done in the playoffs? I think he's two contenders. But they're contenders, but, you know, they still have question marks. Same thing with the Lakers.
Right.
If the Lakers are healthy, they're probably still the team to beat, but will they be healthy? That's, you know, another question there. You got the Clippers. You got the Nuggets. And so you got five teams right there in the Western Conference, in my opinion, that should be in the category of a contender, and only three teams in the East.
You want to put the Blazers in that contender category?
Not in the contender status. I won't put them in the contender status. They're a playoff team, but not a contender.
Yeah, that's not good news.
Okay. It's not good news. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, that, you know, now they've been dealing with some injuries too, and they've been dealing with some injuries in the upfront spot. This new guy that they got from Toronto has a good percentage in his threes. And Carmelo, a lot of things are going to have to go through Carmelo, and the Blazers are going to have to realize that, because everybody thinks that if they stop Damian, they can stop the Blazers. And this is when Carmelo and CJ and Cantor can hurt you. And you're looking for stopping Damian, you screwed up because they got other stuff than Damian. Damian. But the West is going to be tough. And LA,
always tough.
They gotta figure out how they're gonna enter the playoffs. But the whole thing is gonna depend on health. The whole thing for both East and West is gonna depend on health. And you know, this coronavirus didn't do anybody any favors. And LA, they didn't do themselves any favors by them and Miami being the last two standing last year and having this quick turnaround. So everybody's
right.
Running out of gas, and we're going to see who can stand up at the end.
Good deal. Rob, I'm going to have to ask you to mute yourself, bro. Sounds like you're like cooking like something.
Yeah, you
got to
go on mute, bro.
Oh, my bad.
You make an ice, like whatever's happening in the background.
Yeah, but you are loud.
Oh, man. Good deal. So I guess, JQ, we're going to throw it to you while Rob is in there, you know, cooking up in the kitchen or something like that, if you will. He's cooking like stir fry up in there. Let's talk about the next thing. Let's talk about In the kitchen. I know we talked about that. Kitchen was cooking like stir fry.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess title contenders for you, JQ, and then we'll let Rob, once he kind of gets settled, to talk about who would you rather have start your franchise, whether it's Zion or Luka, if you will. Shout out to my Hawks, by the way. We had the NBA record of 11 threes against the Pelicans. I was waiting for Rob to join that, but, you know, just something I want to throw out there too, man. So, but I wanted to see his face when they got out there too. But, you know, didn't help Zion, if you will, no matter how many.
Yeah, that was ugly.
But, yeah. We still lost to the Grizzlies.
That was ugly.
Hey, JQ.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, the old adage, you know, we talked about this on the show, the old adage of football is you got to be able to run and you got to be able to stop the run. And in the NBA, you got to be able to defend the three and you got to be able to shoot the three. And the Pelicans are weak in both, unfortunately. they can't defend the three and they can't shoot it. And so it's bad. And but yeah, the question of Zion, as much as I love Zion, if you had to give me Zion or Luka, I'm taking Luka. And once again, you know, when you look at Luka, when you look at the diversity of his game and everything he can do, he can score the basketball, he can shoot the three-pointer, he can get to the rack, he can pass the ball, he can rebound. It's just so much diversity in his game, and I think he can make so many other people on his team better. And as dominant as Zion is in the paint, those points only count for 2 points. And you got to be able to shoot the three-pointer in today's NBA game. It's true. I mean, you have to be able to shoot the three-pointer. So as much as I love Zion and, you know, him playing with the Pelicans, but if you had to ask me which one I would take to start a franchise out of the two, I'm going with Luka.
Yeah, and I think he just checks more boxes. Now, who's the better athlete? Okay, yeah, Zion by a mile and a half.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of, you know, scoring, rebounds, just because you look at Zion, I think he's only averaging 7 rebounds a game, maybe 8 rebounds a game. And the way that dude can get up off the ground and go get his own rebound, and he just took explosiveness, he should be Charles Barkley 2.0 there. He should never get more than 10 to 12 rebounds a game. You know, we're talking about a four-quarter game. He's only getting 6 or 7. He should average 2 to 3 rebounds in a quarter. It shouldn't even be hard for him to do that, even with rest, right? So, but you don't really have those problems with Luka. As floor bound as he is, he finds a way to go get that ball on the rebound, finds a way to get everybody involved with the assist. He's going to score. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he can be capable, but he's not great. Like, you've seen him go and win that game last year against the Clippers in the playoffs with a big three. So, you know, he can do it, but he's not – I wouldn't say he's proficient, but he's capable. But I'm with you, Rob. I think I would still take Luka, and I know the Hawks fans here are still trying to talk themselves into Trae Young, and it probably sucks for Trae because he'll always be linked to Luka because of that draft day trade. But, yeah, for me, it's Luka. I'm with you, and I think we talked about it multiple times. I really think Luka is on his way to winning an MVP at some point here in his career as he gets into his prime. And some of those older cats start to settle down into, you know, the little twilight of their career. I think it's going to be Luka time. I really do. I love his game. He's been playing against grown men since he was 14. None of this phases him because he's been doing it for so long. So, yeah, give me Luka.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to – well, I saw something today that Zion – he's got the same kind of percentage through his season that Shaq had back when Shaq first entered the league, the percentage he was shooting. But, you know, Shaq had a real different game than today's NBA game. So,
he was dunking on everybody. Nobody could stop that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't three. Shaq was beating you up and taking you to the hole. And that game has passed the NBA by. So, in a way, I guess what you have to do in New Orleans is you got to get him shooting his percentage in the inside and surround him with people that are shooting in the high 40s. Or low 40s, on the perimeter. And that's going to be your efficacy. And if they can't do that, then it's going to have to be Luka. Because Luka's got that energy, and he's got that youth that can go inside, outside, and hit those threes. Threes are important in today's basketball. We even saw that in the college game. Gonzaga wasn't hitting their threes. They got wore out by UCLA.
They just got blitzed, and by Baylor, too. It's like Baylor just came out and just wanted to just wipe them off. But good call.
Davion Mitchell, man, that dude looked like the best on-the-ball defender I've seen in college basketball in a long time. Man.
Yeah, man.
That dude was a beast.
Man, that's on fire. Yeah, they just got blasted. Hey, and like I said, I know as Hawks fans, JQ, it's tough because, you know, again, it's like, you know, you keep talking about Luka, and I will say, sometimes it feels like the draft is a crapshoot. Did we really know Luka was going to be this good? I mean, could you have predicted him to be this good? I mean, it's tough, right? I know he was playing against, you know, a lot of, you know, guys, but we've had a lot of players, you know, we thought the same thing about, you know, about Ricky Rubio. We've heard about, you know, a couple, you know, players that were just hyped up. So I know it doesn't make it right, but I'm just saying, how do we know that Luka was going to be this good, you know? So that's the thing that, you know,
I think
it's hard to go from, you know, tall to short. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the thing about it, I think you're right. I think we all had some reservations, and it's still that European hang-up that we have, right? We look at him and say, you know, he's not the most athletic, he's playing over there in Europe. How good is he really? And you saw Trey doing, you know, Trey things. And like you said, it's also cultural. I think they felt Trey was a great fit for Atlanta.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's why you pay your scouts, right? So, I mean, for us, as much as we love basketball and we watch it, you know, I'm not going to call myself a scout by any stretch of the imagination. I didn't really think Luka was going to be – maybe not be this good this fast. Maybe take him a little bit more time to get used to it. But I really think it is. We still are so American, right? We have such a hang-up of giving European players that kind of credit right out the gate. It's like, I need to see you do it first before I know you to being good. And then he did. And I was like, oh, yeah, that boy looks good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're not going to give him back that deal until you see him play, you know, with your own eyes against other, you know, college talents you watch maybe out of high school or playing those one and dones or 2 years at, you know, big university. Why, you know? So I really think that's a big piece of why, you know, and he still, what was it, three? I mean, it's not like he fell to like 13. So, I mean, he was still pretty high up. And it's not that Trey can't get there, but one thing you can't do is you can't teach size. And Trey is always going to be on the smaller side. And you're always going to be able to take a little bit of advantage because he's not a great defender. So that's why Luka can still throw a bigger body at you than Trey can. And I worry about Trey sometimes being able to hold up if he starts to get drops on the bank around.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's the thing. It's just tough because, like, everyone's like, oh, I knew he was going to be this great. You're like, if this was the case, I don't think we would have traded. You're like, man, you might as well go with Luka because, you know, no matter what you say, and that's a good call. I mean, you had some the Tony Kukoc's of the world, the Drazen Petrovic that were great, but you have some people that are considered soft and – you know, obviously, it's tough to sit there and go back and say, I knew this guy was going to be this, you know, such a star. So it's kind of like, you got to throw your hands up from that situation for sure, if you will. Right. So, anyway, I just want to talk about that. Hey, Rob, speaking of that, we're going to go right into this. We're going to talk about the updated NBA mock draft, if you will. I know you got some players from some squads here, so let's kind of jump into that and we'll get ready to talk about some fantasy shout outs and up into some NFL talk. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll skip around a little bit, but the first round mock, obviously, number one, we know Cade Cunningham still there, Evan Mobley, center from USC, the number two spot, Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga, number three. I'll skip around a little bit. Scotty Barnes, you all probably got a chance to see him a little bit in the tournament. Long arm, 6'9", Florida State. Got him at the number seven spot. Moses Moody from Arkansas at number eight. Keon Johnson from Tennessee just declared for the draft officially. Got him going number nine. Corey Kispert, you saw him in the championship game the other night. Really good shooter. Didn't play his best the other night against Baylor. Kind of reminds me of a J.J. Redick kind of player at the next level. I think he'll be a really good shooter. But he's going to struggle on the defensive end. Kay Jones, center from Texas at number 12. James Booknight, he's a guy I really like, number 14, the Golden State. Davion Mitchell, we just talked about him. I mean, I tell you, one of the best on-the-ball defenders I've seen in college in a long, long time. You know, offensively, he can get a little bit better. I got him going 18 right now. The Hawks, I got him taking Cam Thomas, shooting guard from LSU. Yeah, he's a scorer. I wouldn't necessarily call him a shooter, but he's a scorer. And Sharif Cooper from McEachin in Marietta, got him going number 22. IU DeSumo, I have him going number 23 as well. James Robinson Earl, I have him going number 29. Lester Earl, son. I don't know if y'all remember Lester Earl back in the day in college hoops, but I have him going 29 overall. And so, yeah, I just skipped the level around a little bit. Obviously, both of those are posted on our draft page as well. Drew Timmy from Gonzaga, if he declares, I got him going in the second round, number 47, too. And Joe Ayayi, have him going in the second round, too, from Gonzaga.
Ooh, you think he's going to follow 47? Because that boy had him a tournament. You know, Michael Jordan, like anybody that have a good tournament, he might just pick him just for another long. Now, you have a good tournament, Michael Jordan will pick you in the lottery.
That's true.
Well, just being honest.
Hey, really quickly, Rob. So, is there like a? I know. I think the Hawks. You know, that's a good pick. I like the fact he's a scorer, if you will. And we know how like LSU players. But is there like a? I think the Hawks are kind of kicking themselves by not drafting the guy that they picked. I know they got Nkunku, if you will. But I'm sure they would love to have Halliburton. Is there like a kind of tall point guard in there besides Cade Cunningham that you know we kind of target that kind of fits that Sean Levinson? That's a tall enough point guard to kind of like take some pressure off of Trey, if you will.
Not in that other than Cade Cunningham. They got a lot of 6'4", 6'5 point guards in this draft, but you don't really have mm-hmm. that many of the 6'8", 6'9 versions like you have in Cade Cunningham, obviously, mm-hmm. in this draft. But there are quite a few in that 6'4", 6'5 range from a point guard standpoint. But like I said, Cunningham is the only one where you're going to get that kind of size with.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
They're going to give up on Chris Dunn quite yet.
Chris Dunn is great. I don't know if he's a true point. He's more like a second. I know he's a tenacious defender. I'm hoping he gets Mina better too, man. But you know, again,
yeah.
You got to figure who's both on the floor. He picked up Lou Williams, and he's not really a true point guard either. So you know, we're still kind of figuring that piece out, if you will.
Lou,
all right,
chicken
Curtis here. That's right. I'm getting that party in. We're gonna show some love to Curtis, if you will, but we do want to get some fantasy shout-outs really quickly, Rob, and then we'll try to stay tuned because we're going to let you have your point as far as who do you think the Cowboys are going to draft, Curtis. So, Rob, you want to do that really quickly, and then we'll let Curtis speak as far as the Cowboys are going to draft, if you will. So, go ahead.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. Matthew in Indianapolis, his team, Hart High Five for the biggest win of the week with a 9-0 sweep over Madhouse on Madison. And Chester from New Orleans passed the rock, moving to first place with a 78-46-2 record. And then we did a little tournament challenge. Even though Andre and I finished in a tie, it declared Andre the winner. So I don't quite understand that, but congratulations to Andre. On winning our tournament challenge.
Get it. I think that's just the points, right? Did it the points? Is that why they gave me the win?
Well, we were tied in points, but it declared you the winner.
Oh, were we?
For,
because I'm awesome,
yeah.
Man. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is, man.
Woo! Maybe
did
the
tiebreaker
was...
What?
I think they may have gave him the tiebreaker because... I think in the Sweet 16 round, you score more points. I think I have more points than you in the first round, and you have more points than me in the Sweet 16. So maybe since that was a latter round, it gave you the tiebreaker. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right.
But
my God.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. The injuries caught up to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I thought I had the biggest loss of the week at 8-1 because I got monkey stomped. Boy, it was bad. I get crushed.
Clearly, man, I zero. So
I could have took the top. I don't know. He can beat me and could go first place. But I mean, I mean, Embiid, LeBron, LaMelo, Ingram with the hurt foot. Then Kobe White, like, strained his neck for Chicago. I was sitting here watching, like, man, I only got about three people starting tonight. What is going on?
Oh, man.
It was so bad. Tyler Hero was hurt that week. I was sitting there watching, like,
So I've been feeling your pain, too. I've been seeing too many guys with an I-N-G at the end of their name.
Yeah, I'm like, man, come on, dog. What is happening? It's all good.
Yeah, Robin got where he's just going to have 7 centers playing, so he's good to go, man. So, you know, whatever. All right.
That's what you're
appreciate
saying.
That, as always, Rob. Hey, Curtis, you are on deck, sir. What do you think about your Cowboys and who you think they're going to actually draft, if you will?
Well, I know Jerry likes that tight end out of Miami. And he wants
Kyle Pitts, you mean?
But there's going to have to be a lot of movement. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement. And somebody might pick up that tight end. Before Jerry gets him. Because Jerry knows
no
he
way.
Gets that tight end. So Dak's numbers are going to go through the roof.
Okay.
But
you got to move up to go get him.
But what I see...
They have to move up to get him if they want him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I see, the Cowboys, they really got to draft either defense or offensive line. They got to... The best defensive player on the board, I believe the Cowboys are picking 12th, and I think that's where they're going to stay.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be lucky enough to be a team that people deal with. So they need the best defensive guy on the board, a pass rusher, some people in that defensive backfield, some good people in that defensive backfield. Maybe even some linebackers because, you know, they got aging ones and a bunch of them that can't stay on the field.
It's true.
The Cowboys have got a few problems. But the Cowboys have always been able to draft offense real good. And in the later rounds, that's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, my mock draft will probably hit your positions of needs on the nose. I think in the first round I got Dallas taking Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama, and in the second round got you covering that offensive line with Jalen Mayfield, offensive lineman from Michigan. And then in the third round, Dallas has a couple of picks, and in the first third round, Jay Tufele, defensive tackle from USC. And then with the second, third round, Quincy Roche, edge rusher from Miami, the U. And then coming back in the fourth round, getting another corner, and Sean Wade from Ohio State. So, defense
and offensive
line. Dang,
you got him dropping to the third round?
The fourth round.
Wade's asked the fourth round. I'm talking about Roche from Miami. He dropped all the way to the third round?
Yeah, got him going to the Yeah, now you're thinking Gregory Russo and Jalen Phillips. Now, those two guys will be first round or early second round, yeah. But Quincy Roche is more of a third round at best, late second.
Okay, you're right. Damn, our names. I was almost like, damn, what the hell he do? He must have smoked some weed with Laramie Thompson with the gas mask, boy. Okay, I got you.
I was hanging out with Andre and Pac-Man Jones, huh?
Pac-Man Jones moved to. He followed Rob. He lived in the same neighborhood as Rob, and he moved to Louisiana to follow Rob. So that just tells you how much that Rob
that's
was his back man. But
it's
no,
funny. I got another beagle that lives close to me here in Tampa too. I keep forgetting the guy's name. He's a linebacker.
Oh man,
the Bengals got a linebacker on the team named Jordan.
Not Jordan Willis. They do have Jordan Willis.
What is this guy's name? I think
as long as
he's
not Vontaze Burfict, you're pretty
somewhere.
Good, man. As long as it's not Fontez Burfett, you're pretty good, man. So remember that.
Kansas State, I think.
Yeah, everywhere I move, man, there's a beagle that's like a next door neighbor around the corner or something.
Yeah, trying to keep it.
That's so bad. I don't know what to say about that.
Go ahead, Rob. So anything else you're going to highlight? So this has been an interesting couple of weeks here with
Jordan Evans.
NFL Stocks. That's it, Jordan.
That's
Evans.
Him. Yep.
But it's been an interesting couple of weeks, gentlemen. We saw the Carolina Panthers make a trade for Sam Darnold and also do his extension. So, again, we talked about the 49ers moving up to number three here because they're definitely targeting quarterback. So, Rob, I'll let you kind of talk about the mock drafts from that perspective as well, too. So, go ahead with that, man.
No changes one and two, Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Obviously, with the Jets trade and Sam Darnold,
Zach Wilson,
it's inevitable that they're going with a quarterback, Zach Wilson here, too. Hey, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid with the 49ers and Mac Jones at the number three spot. So I moved Mac Jones all the way up to the number three spot. So it's going to be real intriguing to see if that's what happens. But in this latest mock, I have Mac Jones. Hey, the beautiful thing about doing a lot of mock drafts, if you do 35 of them, I can say, hey.
You're going to get some of them right.
In my draft number seven, I got that pick right. I got that pick right. And nobody's going to have a perfect mock draft. It never happened and never will happen, right?
So, no.
But I can go, the more you do, the more you can say, hey, I had it right in that particular draft on that pick.
That's true.
But anyway, and I got the Falcons taking Trey Lance here, number four. So, I think we're pretty confident it's going to be Lawrence and Wilson. I still think the draft starts with the 49ers and where they go with the quarterback position and where Atlanta goes at the number four position. I got the Bengals going Jamar Chase here, number five. But
you love that.
I got the Bengals coming back in the second and third round helping the offensive line. I got them drafting Landon Dickerson, who can play center and guard in the second round. Cincinnati, and then they got taking James Hudson in the third round right there from Cincinnati as well. So I got the Bengals coming back in the round, getting some help in the second and third round for that offensive line after taking Jamar Chase in the first round. Got Penei Sewell dropping to six. Kyle Pitts, he can go as high as four to Atlanta. I don't think he'll get past Detroit if he falls, even though they have the tight end from Iowa. I think Detroit can still use some weapons, whether it's tight end or wide receiver, even though they have a starting caliber tight end already.
Hockenson.
From Iowa.
Yeah, Hockenson. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
TJ. Yeah, not Hushman Zada, but the other eight.
Hushman Zada. Who's your mama? Championship.
You remember that?
And, you know, Carolina is interesting, too. In his latest mock, I still have them taking a quarterback. I got them taking Justin Fields. And the interesting thing, you know, they just traded for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold only has 1 year left on his contract. And, you know, how comfortable are you with that if he doesn't perform this year? Do you take the quarterback now? Is it just in case? So I still got them taking Justin Fields here. So it's going to be real intriguing. You gave up a second-round pick in next year's draft for Sam Darnold. So you want Darnold to work, obviously, right? And but Darnold, once again, is still only has 1 year remaining on his contract. So in this particular mock, I got him sticking with the quarterback here at Justin Fields. And I'll skip around a little bit. The Eagles dropped down to 12. I got him taking Rashawn Slater. Joe Horn's son, J.C. Horn, with Caleb Fairley. Some questions about some injuries dropping down. So J.C. Horn moves up to the number two corner. Going up to 13 to the Chargers here. Jalen Phillips, the edge rusher we talked about, Minnesota at 14. Micah Parsons, similar to an Isaiah Simmons-type player. Got him going to New England at the 15th spot. I got Caleb Farley, the cornerback of Virginia Tech, dropping down to 18. Greg Newsom, cornerback Northwestern, have him going number 21. And my beloved Saints at 28. Taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah athletic linebacker from Notre Dame, at the number 28 spot. So that's a little bit in the first round. Second round, I got Atlanta coming back in round, taking Dylan Redunce, offensive tackle from North Dakota State. So I got Atlanta taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State and then taking another North Dakota State player in the second round. How about that?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that didn't happen on purpose. Yeah, so we got him taking offensive tackle, who can probably slide in and play some guard, too, there as well. Yeah, and we got the Saints taking Hunter Long, tight end from Boston College in the second round. Got Tampa Bay taking Kyle Trask in the second round, a quarterback. Tom Brady says he's going to play 50, but I don't think he's going to play that long. So come back around and get Kyle Trask in the second round.
Could he get the Cowboys taking?
Jalen Mayfield. Yeah, I think I covered the Cowboys already.
Did you? Okay, cool. I'll make that. Okay, cool. I'll make sure that Curtis was good. JQ, what you got on that, man?
It's going to be – I know Jerry, he's in love with somebody, so he's going to have a hard time in that booth. But, like I said, if they're smart, they got to show up that defense.
I'm in love with the dance.
She's in love with somebody. Come on, Dre. I tell you what, if that happens that way, if Mac Jones goes to San Francisco in three and they leave Trey Lance and Justin Fields on that board, the Atlanta and the Cincinnati War Room's phones are going to blow up. So I'm not saying that in that breath for Cincinnati that they don't want to move down because they really are looking at three prospects. It's either Sewell, Pitts, or Chase, and they feel like they are three, you know, in their words, premier players in this draft. They don't want to move down too far. They miss out on one of them. But somebody's going to look at San Francisco like, you big dummy, like Sanford and the Son, at them taking Mac Jones at three, and they're going to call Atlanta at four and be like, yo, we got this offer. And I don't think it's going to get really real until those dominoes fall for real in the draft.
I agree.
But Atlanta right now with San Francisco moving up to three, they've quietly just put Atlanta in the catbird seat right there at four if they end up taking Mac Jones. Because somebody's going to be sitting back and say, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. I love Justin Fields or I love Trey Lance, and they're not going to want to miss out on if Atlanta talking to somebody else, or if the Bengals decide, hey, I'll move back a little bit to get some more capital because they got a lot of the team. So that, to me, is going to be really interesting to see. Like you said, it starts with San Francisco. If they take Mac Jones, Atlanta going to be like, can I get some more time on the clock? Because I got to field all these calls. Because those phone lines are going to blow up. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, a lot of those phone calls are happening right now. So all these different scenarios are being painted to Atlanta as we speak.
Yeah.
I'm hoping San Francisco is putting up a smoke screen, one. Oh. And I think they're going to pull some wool over some people's eyes. And two,
we'll see.
I need my Denver Broncos to figure out Atlanta's spot or San Francisco's spot. The Denver Broncos really need to make a move, make a hard move on one of those spots.
Yeah.
I'm surprised if Denver is one of those teams going to get one of those quarterbacks, too. Because I don't think they're sold on Drew Locke. He was fairly disappointing last year, in my opinion, and in their opinion, too. And so don't be surprised if Carolina stands pat with Sam Darnold and Denver goes to get one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, because
he
got a ton of weapons, so
you
can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. JQ was right on the point, because I know we were kind of going back and forth text-wise, because, you know, you're looking at what the Falcons are going to do. And we know that they've got the extension from Matt Ryan. I think it's like it's a $40 million contract for next year, and then I think it drops to like 20 or something for the last 2 years. So it's weird, because I think Atlanta's throwing out smoke screens as well, because, you know, you got the head coach saying, I like this, and the GM saying, I like the quarterback. But if you think about it, it does seem like the quarterback is like one of the biggest crapshoots in anything, because we talked about it, you know, in a lot of the drafts. You look at what's happening, you know, hell, Sam Darnold was a first-round draft pick in 2018, and he's already getting moved. And then, you know, the Jared Goff, you know, so he's getting moved. In my opinion, if I'm Atlanta, and it seems like they're saying this, they may be like, you know, we'd rather let you get a quarterback and take that, and then we'll kind of get, you know, we'll either – they've made Ryan Tannehill look good. So I'm thinking that they don't really need that dynamic of a quarterback, you know. So in that offense, you already have Matt Ryan for at least the next 1 to 2 years, if you will. So it doesn't make sense to draft a quarterback and let him sit 2 years, right. So, again, while that's great to have, but you don't want to waste that time on that rookie contract. So, again –
correct.
That's kind of, as much as I hate to think that, I'm like, we're not going to draft this high, but it's like, damn, it just doesn't make sense to get a quarterback and let him sit, you know, for that long, as opposed to it's just a crapshoot as it is, unless you're just absolutely sure that your scouting is on point, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case. So it really feels like they are legitimately going to get the best player. If you're looking at it, you know, Kyle Pitts ran like a 4.440. He's like 6 foot. Is he 6 foot five or 6 foot six? I got to look at his actual measurements, but a dude like that is
the ultimate. I think he's 6'4".
I mean, okay. Still, the point, he's like a wide receiver slash tight end. That's right, and a 4'4", that's pretty amazing, if you will. I'm a huge fan of Jamar Chase, but again, it's like.
He's 6'6", I'm sorry.
You're looking at, yeah, he's 6'6". Yeah, yeah, so that's a huge weapon. You know that your guy already likes tight end, so that's a good move. Kanae Sanu, we need offensive line help, but we need a left tackle. Excuse me, a left guard. So, again, it's like, can you slide him over? I don't know if that's an option. Is it that high to take a tackle? You know, so.
Yeah, I'm not taking a left guard at four.
Right.
No, not a guard.
So it's like you have to think
you're
about.
You're taking left tackle at four, but not a
move.
Guard.
But you see what I'm saying? So do you move, you know, that?
Yeah.
So this is an interesting situation for Atlanta because I would love to possibly trade down to, like, the Denver, like you said, get all them picks. You know, again, is that too low? Because I think they're picking 12, if I'm not mistaken. I think Denver's picking 12, right? But
Denver's
how far
nine.
Do you want to go, if you will, to make that move? But and if I'm getting as much picks as I can. I heard that the Falcons like, you know, Caleb Farrell from Virginia Tech, even though he's got the back spasms. But, again, it's like you kind of stack up those picks, if you will, because we definitely need a lot of help for the roster. But as much as I'd like to give a definite answer, I'm just trying to, like, psychologically think, does it make sense to get a quarterback at this time whenever it can happen with Matt Ryan? But if they stay at four, they're probably going to get the best player, which could either be Pitts and or Jamar Chase, you know, who I would like personally like. But that's kind of me, if you will.
Yeah, I agree, because when you have a quarterback, you know you're going to have to pay him if he turns out to be that guy, a king's ransom. So you don't, in fact, you can't move on from Matt Ryan unless you just are willing to incur that $41 or $48.5 million hit. You lose half of his rookie contract of being able to get
mm-hmm.
a quarterback and build around him on the cheap because you don't have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them wanting to get his backup right now, but when they restructured his contract and they brought Buddy to Tennessee to your point, what he made Ryan Tannehill look like, I feel like Arthur Blank is loyal to a fault. He was loyal to Dimitrov for too long. He was loyal to Dan Quinn for too long. I could see him being loyal to Matt Ryan for too long, and I didn't try to put that pressure with a young dude on the bench behind him. But you look at the books like, I can't really get rid of him, because if I do, that hit is still the same, whether I trade or release him, it's still ignorant, and I can't go fill in that roster. So as much as I think the Atlanta
right.
fans would love to have that next quarterback awaiting, you know, a young, strong, mobile quarterback, I just don't know salary cap-wise and the way you do the books if that's going to be the most fiscal piece for them. That's why I really think I think other people around the league see that as well, and I really think their phones are going to ring off the hook at four if
yeah.
Mac Jones goes to San Fran. But San Fran is,
yeah.
Justin Fields is having a second pro day, and San Francisco is going to that pro day. They went to Mac Jones because their pro days were on the same day the first one. So
right.
maybe we read too much into that them going to Mac Jones' first. Maybe they knew that, you know, already knew Justin Fields was having the second one, right? So I'll go to Mac's only one and go to Justin's second one. That way I get to see them both. So that intrigue, you nailed it, though, Rob. That intrigue of three or four is really where it starts. I think we're pretty all positive what happens to one or two.
And really quickly before you talk, Rob, there's also a rumor out there that I heard that, which is interesting, is that the Falcons may be trading Julio Jones to Green Bay for that first-round pick, which is like, what the hell? But, you know, that's what they were talking about. Literally, there's some rumors scuttlebutt about that, too. Like, so if that's the case, you know, again, then you better draft your next replacement. That's just kind of what they're talking about. Yeah, can you imagine that? That's what they're
talking
about.
Ooh,
hey, Devontae
right with Aaron Rodgers? Oh, my God.
Hey,
oh.
I tell you what, if I'm Atlanta, I take that trade. And
yeah.
I take that trade if I'm Atlanta. Julio Jones, when the last time he's been healthy? About 5 years ago? And,
yes, Julio, you're right.
Come on. Yeah. If I'm Atlanta, I take that trade. Give me a first-round pick for a 30-some-year-old wide receiver. Is he how old is Julio Jones now?
He's 29. Come on now.
We got to be 30-something. Come on, man.
I'm going to look it up right now. But, yeah, but that's just where
if I'm Green
so,
Bay
you know,
and I'm picking what, 28? Is Green Bay picking 28?
It's like 27.
29?
26, something around there. Yeah, something around there.
Oh, yeah. A late first-round pick? I would gamble on Julio at 29 and give him the – you can't double both of them.
Is he 30?
He's 32.
Hold on. He's
32. I wouldn't trade number two for a 32-year-old wide receiver named Julio Jones.
Damn,
but
right.
At 28 in the first round, you can still be a good player. Don't get me wrong. But I would gamble that 28 pick in the first round if I'm Green Bay to maximize Aaron Rodgers' twilight and put him off outside Devontae. We've already signed Devontae to that extension. And you just signed Aaron Jones this offseason? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I personally, I think it's a good trade for both teams. If you're Atlanta, you're giving up an aging wide receiver who hasn't been able to stay healthy, and you're not ready to contend for a championship just yet, right? Green Bay is trying to win the Super Bowl, and they're thinking Julio Jones can possibly get him over the hump. And maybe they can do some load management with Julio Jones, get him ready and healthy for the playoffs, which is most important. You know, obviously you want him to play some in the regular season to get some chemistry. But you obviously the key with Julio will be keeping him healthy. Now. Like I said, if you're Atlanta, I mean, you're not trying to be facetious here, but when the last time he's been healthy, a full season? And,
we know that.
Last year, what did he play, four games?
Yeah.
If you get a first-round pick for like that, and you're a team that's trying to rebuild a little bit, I think it would be a good trade for both teams, to be totally honest with you.
And if they move back, that's round to get a boatload of picks. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good move for both of them. It's a good gamble by Green Bay.
Yeah, that's the word.
That's crazy. I didn't hear that one though. That's wild.
That's when I was like, "What the French toast?" And you're like, "Man, yeah."
Well, the Saints got a first round pick for Brandon Cooks, and he was never as good as Julio Jones. But boy, they did. Brandon Cooks was a young player though, and is still in his 20s.
True.
Yeah, man. There you go. So that's what we got for. So we'll let Kurt. Anything else you want to add to that, Curtis? Because again, I want to talk more about. I know I spend a little bit more time, if you will, about that too. Because we definitely wanted to let you kind of. Because there's some information about the Washington Football Team. What's happening with them? They were surprisingly, obviously won the division last year. The NFL least, if you will, making jokes about that. And then also about Tua. Is this his year? Because you don't have the safety blanket in Ryan Fitzpatrick anymore. That's an interesting thing. And I'm still going to talk about Andy Dalton, JQ, that the Bears have basically said Andy Dalton is the dude. I'm like, what the hell? He must have pictures, man. What's going on with that, man? You talk about some interesting news coming out of Chicago. They just, like, are gluttons for punishment. I don't even know.
Yeah, just like you said. If you're a football fan, you can't have enough of this. There's a bunch of stuff with this football that sounds crazy. But you mentioned Tua is about to become a bust. He really is. If he can't move that football team, if he's not moving that football team, and he seems to have a hard time picking up yards with that offense, what can you say? They're going to hang him out there.
He was kind of hurt. He was hurt, Curtis, last year.
They're going to let him show him. And I think he's going to fail. I think he's going to fail. I do. I think I don't see special to him, especially in the NFL. But the Justin Herbert in his second year, that's what I'm looking for. I'm trying to see what he's going to do and what they're going to do for him and if they can get him in the playoffs. Now, man, what a mess. What a mess. Holy smoke. Houston. Man, oh man. God, Houston almost makes me hurt
in my stomach and in my head. What else can go on in Houston? That just sounds
wow.
so damn.
Well, Tyrod,
and they don't have a first
by the
or
way.
Second round pick.
That.
They're the first pick in the draft. It's not to the third round.
Yeah.
Yep.
They took Tyrod Taylor, though, believe it or not, which is interesting, by the way. But go ahead, Rob.
They don't have a first or second round pick. I mean, do you take a chance on the Davis Mills or Kellen Mond, you know, somewhere in that third round, or Kyle Trask falls to him? But, yeah, I mean, you don't have to pick until the third round of this draft, man. And this is a draft where they need some picks in the first and second round on that team. And it's not just a concern at the quarterback position, but it's still a lot of concerns, a lot of other positions on that football team. So Houston, you know, could very well have the number one pick in the NBA and the number one pick next year in the NFL. Very much so. I mean, well, they got the Astros playing well, so I mean, they got something going for them.
Cheap asses.
Yeah, but the Rockets and the Rockets and the Texans are in some trouble right now. You mentioned the quarterbacks, Tua, Justin Herbert. You know, obviously Joe Burrow. Here's what I think in regards to Tua. I'm not going to call him a bust. I don't think he'll be as good as Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, though. I think he'll be – and he was picked behind those two as well. No, I take it back. Tua went ahead of Justin.
Herbert.
Yeah, Tua went ahead of Justin. I think on the surface, it looked like Herbert is going to be the best of the three, right? When you look at his arm talent, when you look at his athletic ability, it looks as though he's going to be the best of the three. I think Tua will fall in third out of that three. But I still think he'll be a solid NFL quarterback. Yeah, he won't be as good as Burrow. He won't be as good as Herbert. But I think he can still be a solid quarterback, especially if Ryan Flores can keep a really good defense and put a few more weapons around him and build up that offensive line a little bit more. I think he'll still be a very solid and effective it could be a winning quarterback in the NFL. He just won't put up the numbers that Herbert and Burrow will. Sorry.
He might mess around and be that dreaded game manager because, you know, Flores is going to probably keep him in really good defense in that New England mold around him. He's got a good one receiver, Devontae Parker. We'll see if Will Fuller, coming off that one-game suspension next year, what he does on the opposite side. Will Fuller, when he's healthy, can absolutely stretch the field. He was having quietly a decent year last year for Houston with Deshaun Watson before, you know, he got suspended.
He was.
So we'll see what happens with that. We talked about Washington. I brought that up, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago that, you know, nobody's really talking about them. You know, they get them Curtis Samuel, obviously the Terry McLaurin, and that kid Logan Thomas has really turned into a nice tight end from Virginia Tech that converted from quarterback. You know, Ron Fitzpatrick, he has his ups and his downs, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have to be a world beater in that division. He don't have to be 12-4 to win that division. He won that division at 9-7. And I think he's got the personnel on offense and defense to be able to get that done. So that's why I really think I see Washington kind of falling in. I don't know if they get to a 10-6, 9-7, 8-8, I think is about where they'll be. They'll play good defense. You'll get some good Fitzpatrick, and then you get some Fitztragic on out of that. So we'll see. And Houston is it's just bad because they went from having a king's ransom for Deshaun Watson to hold on to him to can you get a bag of footballs with Deshaun Watson right now? Because who's trading for him? What do you give up for him? If he might go to jail. Like,
man,
it's bad.
Man, it's bad.
It's real sad.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion tonight of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We expect to be back on our normal scheduled night on Tuesday on next week. We apologize for the inconvenience of moving the show on this week. Next week on Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain Time for our friends in Denver, and then 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And then Honolulu, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. for you all on next Tuesday night. Don't want to miss it. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. Click on this same link to get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
Let's go, Cincinnati.
Yeah. You mentioned the Washington football team. I think your prognosis on the Washington football team was kind of spot on. I kind of see them in that same realm, you know, because last year, if I'm not mistaken, they won that division with six or seven wins. I can't remember the exact win total. Was it 6-10 or 7-9?
I thought they were 7-9.
I thought they were 7-9.
Yeah.
I think Fitzmagic can lead them to one or two more wins. And it sucks, you know. There won't be no more 9-7, so they'll either be 9-8 or
right.
10
That's
and
true.
7.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
They were
7-9
last year, right?
7-9. So
everyone
else is
6-10. That's crazy.
I think JQ's right on this. I totally agree. That's exactly kind of where I had them pictured to be going into next season. I think when you look at their defensive front seven, it's going to be as good as any team's in the league. Can they improve their secondary? Can they get better quarterback play? And and if Fitzmagic can do that, I can see them winning another one to two games. Yeah. I can easily see somewhere around a 9-8 football team. That just sounds weird. 9-8.
I know, right? I totally say so now. I'm so used to a 16 game season. Yeah, you're right. And they picked up William Jackson from the Bengals, who was actually the Bengals' best cornerback. So they did help bolster that secondary. I was like, that Washington team is people just hate Dan Snyder, and for good reason. And I think that's part of the reason why people are like, please let Washington just suck every year so they make Dan Snyder have to come off that football team. I think that's really what it comes down to. But if you look at it, like you talked about, his defense is pretty solid. It just were, you
yeah.
know, not constant, but consistent quarterback play
he
away. Being
a little
able,
bit more
know,
play. Yeah.
Very close. I agree. It's going to be a team that you saw Tampa. Like, they gave Tampa all they could handle. In that first round in the playoffs, so they ain't no punk now. So we got to give him some respect. You know, it's all about Fitz and what he can
Let's
do for him. But
their
defense is very solid.
Legit.
And as you can see, I mean, we expect all five of these quarterbacks to go in the top 10, right? And so Washington had to do something at the quarterback position, and Fitzmagic is probably about the best they can get in the free agent market. Same thing with Chicago and Dalton. They're not going to be in range to get one of these quarterbacks. And so, unfortunately, they got to go with some retreads to try to see if they could hover around 500.
I would have taken Tyrod Taylor over Andy Dalton if I'm Chicago. All day, twice on Sunday. Come on,
That's
man.
So crazy.
You couldn't get Tyrod Taylor, I would at least try. People kill me with Andy Dalton. You can't fix him. He is who he is.
Right.
Stop it.
He's a quarterback.
That's all he is. And they got hot that one year when he was undefeated for a good stretch. But he's not that guy. His arm ain't that strong. You going to put him out there in Chicago in that Lake Michigan win? Are y'all serious? I feel real bad for him.
Better run the
fans.
Football.
Man, listen, you got to throw it at some point.
At some point.
Gotta go for that Drew Brees threshold and jump off.
Man, I'll put all lemon dudes in the box and say, I dare you to throw the ball down the field. I triple dog dare you.
Triple dog dare you. Not triple dog dare.
The mother of all dares.
I don't see what the Bears did as being. I
think you got problems.
The Redskins did as being somewhat
triple
of an upgrade
dare
quarterback. What the Bears did is equal to what they already had in Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
It's not another
right.
way.
Yeah, Nick
you
Foles.
Might as well could have kept one of those guys. It's the same thing. And like Leroy Hoyd used to say when he played in the NFL, he said, if you need 1 yard, I get you 3. If you need 5 yards, I get you 3.
I get you
and,
3.
That's all they're going to do is get you 3. And Andy Dalton, most he's going to get you. If you need 10 wins, he's going to get you 7-8. If you need 5
that's
wins, he'll get you 7-8. But that's all he's going to get.
Curtis is so good. Just a quick thing as we're wrapping up. Some word on the street is that the Denver Broncos are looking at Teddy Bridgewater for trade talks. And then, you know, just I know. Why are you looking like that, JQ? That's just something
that
they're talking
about.
Keep
playing Drew Lock. Did they watch Teddy Bridgewater down the stretch in Carolina? They signed that deal to a 3-year deal and said after 1 year, said, you know what, no more Teddy. Carolina went and used draft capital to move on. So if you're Denver, why? I'd rather just see what Drew Lock can do for another year. I'm not going to spend no draft capital on Teddy Bridgewater. What?
Yeah. Teddy might as well come back to New Orleans and back up Winston.
I mean, I'd live him in Atlanta, too. Just saying. Go ahead. as a backup. Yeah.
No, I mean, if they cut him.
A lot of people think he's, you know, a starting quarterback. The problem with Locke is the maturity part. And the one thing that Bridgewater has, for some reason, he has a lot more maturity. And, I can see it, but I think Denver should be talking to Atlanta big time. I really do.
We'll see.
And I think Denver really needs to get that spot.
I'm going to say this.
You know, I'll be honest about Teddy Bridgewater. For some reason, I just didn't like his body language last season in Carolina. I don't know what it was. His body language just wasn't the same. And, I don't know if he didn't feel like he fit in there in Carolina or with the coaches, or he just wasn't motivated. I'm not sure what it was. But his body language was not the same than what I saw.
Shoot, you got Chris McCaffrey saying, fuck this.
Maybe so. That could have been it. When he lost McCaffrey.
Get me killed out here.
The body language just was not there. It just wasn't there.
He look like a guy that can put a team on his shoulders.
I think he'd be good in a back. I think he does have. Like I said, as a matter of fact, Rob, he was great in the locker room with New Orleans. Like they loved him, and you know, Sean Payton was very highly.
He did. The fans
so
loved him too.
You think this guy's like he's just not a war? You know, hey, you know, come back. Come to Atlanta, man. I'd be cool with that. But an interesting note that I would say is that you think about again, kind of talking earlier about quarterbacks, and it's a crapshoot. You'd rather have somebody else make that investment if that quarterback is a bust or not, right? Because again, you're looking at what happened, you know, New Orleans with you. You guys got Drew Brees, and because you got Drew Brees with a torn labrum, that dude came out and became a great quarterback. There's a lot of situations where there's quarterbacks that, you know, maybe they have didn't fit where they were, maybe they're slightly injured, but all it takes is that right coaching staff to kind of get the best out of that player, if you will, because that player has already been in the league. You know, as opposed to just, you don't know if this guy's going to be good or not from college. I mean, scouts get it wrong all the time. We talk about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was the 100% guaranteed whatever. He's not even in the league anymore. You know, there's certain things that happen that you're thinking this guy's the dude. Jared Goff, already traded. You know, we talk about Sam Darnold getting traded. You know, we're still on the fence about Baker Mayfield, you know, obviously. So it is definitely a crapshoot, if you will. So unless you have the right system, the right coach, the right development, I'd rather have somebody else make the best bit of mess up. I mean, hell, Josh Rosen was number one, you know, was high pick, you know. So you're like, what the hell, you know. And unless you get lucky with a Patrick Mahomes or something like that, it's hard, you know. It really is hard to get that, to nail that quarterback pick, if you will.
Agree.
Yeah. And teams are going to keep trying until they get it, and as they should.
Got to.
That's right.
As they should.
You know what's
as
funny?
You mentioned,
and that's a recipe, and that is usually a recipe to get into the Super Bowl. Getting a guy on his rookie contract, that way you can pay other people, and you can get yourself in a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's
5 years,
a good formula.
Right? So is rookie contract 5 years normally? Is it 5 years?
It's four, and you have to get the fifth-year option. But if you got that guy, you pick up that fifth-year option without thinking about it. All I was going to say is that it's just amazing to me now, to your point, Rob, that people keep trying. But they are accelerating that keep trying now. Like, people will pick somebody in the top five, top 15 in the first round, and have them look at him for a year and a half, like, oh, he ain't that dude, and move on. And that didn't used to happen in the past. It was like, they would give you a couple years, maybe probably all the way through that first contract, and then say, you know, well, I spent this first-round pick on this dude, so I'm going to have to see, right? These mofos is not playing games now. If you don't look like you that guy, deuces. They already talking about running like Tua.
Yeah.
They already talking about drafting his replacement. Maybe they pick a quarterback. I was like, what? Yeah. You just drafted him last year?
Arizona drafted Kyler Murray 1 year after drafting Josh Rosen. I mean, that's like, wow.
Right.
we had never seen that before when that happened. Never. I mean, even the Bucs waited 5 years on Winston. And and even, I don't know if y'all remember, Josh Freeman. Remember him? The Bucks waited 5 years on him, too.
Yeah, my dude posed like Michael Jackson on the album cover. Yeah, Josh Freeman was the wild boy.
Yeah, he sure did.
With a tiger?
That off the wall album, right?
Yes, it was.
Old school off the wall album.
He came with some swag. They weren't ready for that swag. Like, what the hell is this?
I said, come on, Josh.
Oh man, that was funny. That was one of the better albums, by the way. Don't sleep on Off the Wall, by the way. That was a great album. I'm just saying, straight up, you know, if you really want to keep things going.
What are you talking about? That was me. That's with you for your trivia question. How many number one hits came off the Off the Wall album? When I texted you that like a year and a half ago to see if you were going to use that trivia.
Oh man, that's funny. Oh, good stuff, good stuff.
Oh, man, I'm still thinking. I'm going to sleep.
We're about to wrap this up. I'm still thinking that what if the choice was Dante Culpepper or Drew Brees? Think about that. And the Dolphins chose Dante Culpepper. You know what I'm saying?
But at the time,
that's what I'm saying. You can't.
Dante was rolling in Minnesota, and Drew Brees had the messed up shoulder. Like I can't kill that in that moment.
I'm just saying, this is the trajectory of the franchise that went from that one singularity pick.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
Yeah, I mean,
it's definitely
that was a gamble, obviously, you know. Yeah, that was a gamble. And, you know, looking back on it, you know, Sean Payton said they believed in the player to overcome the injury, and that's why they took the chance and gave Drew Brees that six-year contract at the time, because they believed in the player. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Nick Saban said, hey, I'm going to go with a guy. Both of them were coming off of injuries, and I don't think people remember that. Dante was coming off a major knee injury at the time, and Drew was coming off of a major shoulder injury.
Torn labrum.
So Nick Saban's thought process, hey, I'm going to have a quarterback. Which injury? He figured the knee injury. But, but you talk to a lot of quarterback coaches, and they say the legs are a lot more important than your throwing power. And so, you know,
right.
See on one, six hand on one hand, half a dozen on the other, right? So, I mean, obviously it was a gamble. It didn't work out for the Dolphins. But as you said, you know, I don't know if it's something you can knock.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying that.
Now
well,
you can,
I thought I remembered. You know, San Diego was so bent on Philip Rivers.
I was going to talk about that, Curtis. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. As it turns out, the better season went to Drew Brees. And San Diego thought that it was going to be Philip Rivers, who didn't have
– He just looked apart.
You know,
he
played his ass off, but he did not have the season. Or I don't think he had the drive that – Drew Brees had after getting slighted like that.
That's true. Yeah, and I'll just say to this as we wrap up, it's tough because that's why, again, I have no clue what Atlanta's going to do, JQ, because it's like if you keep getting quarterback, you want to keep amassing quarterbacks because they are a valuable commodity, you know, for whatever you say. So even if you're like, I'm going to get this guy and just, you know, let him sit, at least he becomes, if you plan, maybe he does become a commodity. You can trade for him a couple of years. All right, here's – give me a second, whatever. You looked at what's happening with Sam Darnold right now, too. So you can get some value out of that pick, if you will, too, if they're young enough, too. So it's kind of like, you know, shit, these models, you damn, you damn, you don't, man. So I literally have no clue what the Falcons are going to do. No clue. I tried to negotiate it in my head, like, get a quarterback, get the best player, you know, Jamar Chase, I don't even know anymore. So there you go. But wrap it up,
three
Rob.
Weeks away.
Great night. Don't stop you to your contract.
Draft
is
3 weeks away.
Yeah, we'll know in 3 weeks. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Wrap this up, man.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's been fun. Thank you all for dialing in. We'll be back once again on Tuesday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And by the way, it was Andre's fault that we moved the show to tonight. But anyway, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time when we meet again on Tuesday night.
Good night, Joe. Robin, shit.
I got you, Rob. It's all good. Curtis, thanks for coming. Yeah, it's all good, man. I knew it was coming. Have a great rest of your week.
I'm the guilty party, America. I just got to give all a hard time. It's my fault.
You got to be good after your COVID shot. Are you taking your COVID shot next Tuesday, Rob, by the way?
I'm taking it on Tuesday, and I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a warrior. Right. I'm going to be champ. I'm going to be fine. We're going to do this thing Tuesday.
All right. We'll see.
Yes,
we'll see how Rob's eyes are on that night. Yeah, so we'll see.
It's all about attitude.
That's true.
Attitude.
I'm still sore. My arm is still sore, but it's all good, man. So I'm like, man, I got to take some weeks to get recovered, man. It's all good, man. So anyway.
It's only going to be sore a day or two. You're going to be good.
Yeah.
It's a little struggle
peace
guys,
on
that
good.
Side, though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
All good. Good night, JQ. Good night, Curtis. Good night, Rob. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, y'all. Apologies.
All right.